It's another beautiful gospel passage. We've been very blessed this Lent. We just had the parable of the prodigal son, and now we have this one that we get today. And it's another tussle with the Pharisees. We get these so often. Now, in some episodes in Scripture, you can kind of read the Pharisees in a positive light, or at least a neutral light. You know, Jesus is this new kind of upstart teacher with new ideas, and the Pharisees are the standard establishment religious teachers, and they have disagreements and debates, and you could see it as just kind of an academic issue. But in some passages, like our gospel today, the hearts of the Pharisees are revealed more clearly. Their pride in their status, their callousness and cruelty even, and their unwillingness to accept when God is doing something new. So we have the passage of the woman taken in adultery, and it's a scene with great pathos and great emotion. It shows the callousness and unkindness of the Pharisees in so many ways, which I don't have time to get into today. But it's also a very clever trap set up by the Pharisees, a trap for Jesus. See, the Pharisees love the Torah, the Old Testament law given by Moses. Their whole deal is that they follow the whole law, all 613 some commands in it. They follow the law rigorously, very strictly, and they're very proud of that. And they think that because they follow these external commandments, that they are without sin. And they don't like what Jesus has said at various times about the law being modified or reinterpreted. They don't like his Sermon on the Mount, which talks about it being more interior. The law extends to the interior, our thoughts and our desires, our interior attitudes, and not just our external actions. They think Jesus is denigrating the law or denying the law. They want to expose him for that. It's kind of like how sometimes in Congress, one party might push a bill all the way to the Senate floor for a full vote, even though they know it doesn't have the support to pass. And they do that just so that the other party has to go on record as voting against it. And today, the Pharisees want to put Jesus on the record as denying the law. And they do that by giving him this dilemma. They have the woman who was caught in adultery, and they say to him, "Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" Never mind that that law hadn't been enforced in several generations at the time of Jesus. They want Jesus to settle this issue for them right then and there. And it's not only a dilemma of either denying the law to be merciful or ordering the woman to be stoned. You know, it's not just between justice and mercy, but under Roman law, the occupying Roman Empire, the Jews were forbidden to issue a capital punishment sentence against someone. That's why in the whole Gospels about Good Friday, they had to involve Pilate, the Roman governor, in the trial of Jesus. It had to be a Roman trial and not just a Jewish trial, because if they acted on their own, the Romans would come after them. So Jesus can stay, he can say that the woman should not be stoned, in which case they can say he's denying the Old Testament law, or he can say that she should be stoned, in which case they can seize him and take him to the Romans as a criminal. So the Pharisees want to use the threat of the Romans to force Jesus to admit that he does not accept the whole law. But you know how these things usually turn out with Jesus. Jesus turns the Pharisees' trap against them. After the famous writing in the sand, which is a mystery for another day, he simply says, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Now remember, the Pharisees think that they are without sin because they follow all the laws. So this should be easy for them. But if they do stone her, then they would be the ones in trouble with the Romans. So the Pharisees have nothing they can do. And so eventually they back down and they leave. So Jesus uses the same threat of the Romans to force the Pharisees to implicitly admit that they don't actually follow the whole law, that they're not without sin. They don't explicitly say this, but that's kind of how the situation resolves rhetorically. They back down on that point. But this angers them. And this is one of the things that escalates the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, the conflict that ultimately leads to Good Friday. The Pharisees in the gospel are unable to admit that there might be more to the law than the 613 external commands that they obey. They can't admit that because that would mean giving up their own identity that they've constructed for themselves as the perfect ones. Their identity is so tied in with their pride in the way they observe the law. So for them, accepting Jesus' reinterpretation of the law and expansion of it would mean overturning their whole concept of themselves. And they're not willing to do that. But there's another Pharisee who encounters Jesus. And this time, it turns out differently. This Pharisee is St. Paul, Saul, as he was known then, before he met Jesus. And yet we hear from him today in our second reading, letter to the Philippians, and he says, "I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." This everything he's talking about, that refers to what he was talking about just in the verses prior to that, the beginning of the chapter. There's been a challenge to his ministry, and so Paul has been defending himself and kind of laying out his credentials as an apostle, and indeed as a Jew, as a Pharisee. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He's from the tribe of Benjamin, which is the most faithful tribe. He's a Pharisee, zealous beyond all others. He says he even persecuted the church of Christ in his zeal. And so he's kind of giving all his old credentials. And that was his whole identity. That was who Saul was. But now, Paul says that he considers all of that, all that he once was, as nothing, worthless, compared to the surpassing good of knowing Christ Jesus. And he goes on, "For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things and consider them so much rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." So much rubbish. That Greek word, skubala, could be translated garbage, trash, dung, even crap, or another word to that effect. Now remember, St. Paul is talking about what used to be his whole life, his whole identity, everything that he thought was most important about himself. And now he says it's crap. Worthless. That's not because it's all bad. He didn't just discover that he'd been totally 100% wrong and that what he thought was the best is actually the worst. No, it's because he discovered something that was infinitely better than what he had been pursuing. He discovered the surpassing worth, the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In comparison with that, everything else is as nothing. Where formerly he was very proud of his own great righteousness from his obedience, he now says in our second reading that he does not have any righteousness of his own. What a turnaround. He doesn't have any righteousness of his own based on following the law. It wasn't easy for St. Paul to give all of that up, to give up that sense of himself as perfectly fulfilling the law, to let his old identity pass away and to accept a new identity in Christ. That was very, very difficult. But unlike the Pharisees in the gospel, St. Paul was willing to do that. He was willing to give up the notion that he has his own righteousness based upon, you know, how perfectly he's following the law. He accepts Jesus even though it turns his whole world upside down. And when he did that, when he gives up his former identity, he found a joy and a value which infinitely surpassed what he had. We also, brothers and sisters, we need to be willing to give up our identities, our false identities, in order to be found in Christ Jesus. And we all have different ones. And for some of you, maybe it's the identity you find in your career, that you're strong and capable and smart and able to take care of yourself and your family, and that's what gives life meaning for you. That's the central thing in your life. Maybe for some of us, it's political work that we do, putting forward some party or cause or issue with all of our strength. Maybe like the Pharisees, it's our identity as a good person, as a decent person who doesn't really do anything seriously wrong, who can hold her head high and think well of ourselves. It's a big one that we Christians can fall into very easily. It's very common. Along with St. Paul, we need to be willing to count our own righteousness as nothing compared with the surpassing worth of knowing the mercy and love of Jesus Christ. St. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession." St. Paul does not think that he's yet taken possession of the goal, the ideal, perfection. He hasn't arrived yet. And if St. Paul hasn't yet, then we certainly have not either. St. Paul, who is, you know, preaching Jesus Christ across the whole world, being persecuted, imprisoned for that, if St. Paul does not consider himself a decent person to have his own righteousness based upon his works, but instead he says he doesn't have any righteousness on his own, if that's what St. Paul says, then neither should we consider ourselves to have arrived or to be in a good spot because of our actions. We don't rest on our own actions. We rest on the mercy of Christ. Or perhaps for some of you, the identity we need to give up to treat as rubbish is the identity of the woman caught in adultery, our former identity as sinners. We need to give up the sins themselves first. You know, as Jesus says to the woman in that beautifully balanced statement, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." We're not condemned, but we need to change our lives. It was beautiful. On Wednesday, we had hundreds and hundreds of people come to confession at our Day of Mercy. So many people changing their lives, receiving the mercy of God. It was wonderful. We also need to give up our identifying with our sin, our identifying with the shame of that. That's something that we can easily fall into too. Thinking of ourselves as hopeless sinners, as unlovable, as sort of not worth God's time or his effort or his love. That's a false identity that we need to be willing to give up so that we can live in the identity of one who's been redeemed by Jesus Christ because of his love, who's been found in Christ, as St. Paul said. There's so many more identities we could go through. Sometimes it's a full way of thinking of ourselves. Oftentimes it's just some little aspect of how we think of ourselves. Maybe part of our prayer for Lent this week can be asking Jesus to show us what part of our identity, our self-identity, we need to give up, to treat as rubbish, so that we can accept more fully the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord.